19. Matthew 4, verse 19. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Let's pray. Let's kneel as we pray.
You see, I think that everybody would be disappointed because it seems to be kind of the thing between Rod and I that there is always some little jab of some sort. And I saw this and immediately thought of Rod. This morning, I do want to talk to you about the Oregon Trail. As Janelle, my wife, mentioned, we were in Baker City last weekend attending a dedication for a very special new member of our family. And then Sunday, we had the grandkids with us, and what a great opportunity to take them through the Oregon Interpretive Center. And it is the Oregon Trail that you go through. It's pretty interesting. Baker, to me, is really not one of the places that I ever really thought I would live. Now, this is not one of the beautiful sides of it. There is some extreme beauty there. When you look at the eagle caps on one side and the elkhorns on the other side, and when there's snow on them, it is absolutely breathtaking in that valley. But as we're going through the Interpretive Center, they have these little plaques, and each one of these little plaques talk a little bit about the experience and that type of thing. And as I started to read some of those, I think, you know, are we not on a journey like they were? I'm not sure they called it the Promised Land, but I know that some had called it the Land of Promise. They were looking for something better in their lives than what they had experienced. And they were told, maybe by friend or family or whomever, that Oregon was where you wanted to go. A land of opportunity. And so I have some of the sayings that they had written down. And this morning I just want to see if we can't correlate those with the experience of a Christian in our walk. So if you'll just pray with me first. Dear Father, thank you again for a beautiful Sabbath. Thank you that we have the promise that you are always there with us and guiding us. Dear Father, continue to guide and direct each one of us this morning as we look at your word, as we talk about some of the things, the experiences that you have guided us through. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of these, I realize you have to kind of stretch your imagination. And as most of you know, I have quite the imagination, so it wasn't too difficult for me. One of them is, those who come to this country will be in love with their oxen. That's what the veterans of the trail claim, and it's true. Old Buck and Bright, Dick and Drab. They have pet names, and those who died along the way are mourned. I'm not going to mention names this morning, but I know that there are people in our lives that we have lost along the way on this journey. And we do miss them. They have been a guidance to us along the way. They have been steadfast. One of the other ones is hardy and patient, dependable and long-suffering. The oxen earn their gratitude as they steadily plod towards the setting sun. And again, as we look back at some of the people in our lives that are no longer with us, we think of their steadfastness, their dependability, their long-suffering. It's hard to lose somebody you love. I know. There have been people in my life, my dad passed away, who held Andrew? Andrew's 21, so 22 years ago. 22 years ago, last 23? Yeah, 23 years ago. He was 61 years old. Well, he would have been 61. It's too early in life for anyone to die. But I know that my dad was hardy. And in later life, he was patient. He was always dependable. And he put up with three boys, so he was long-suffering. So how does this relate to us in our Christian walk? We are all on a journey. As we walked through the interpretive center, this isn't going to work, is it? Yeah, well, I guess it is. We saw what it may have been like for them. I can't imagine what it would have been like to crest the last mountain and come into the Baker Valley and go, and oh man, because that's what I would have done. Those that have gone before us say that actually when they came into the Baker Valley the first time, there was no sagebrush. Man brought sagebrush to Oregon through the animals and such. And that it was much lusher and greener. So as you look at this picture, think of what it would be like if it was rolling green hills. It would have been beautiful. The La Grande Valley, which is the next one over, at one point was actually a lake. But this is one of the... It's actually interesting. If nobody has ever been to an interpretive center, this one in Oregon, that horse... That's real. Now, he has been stuffed. But all of the animals in there are real. The men are not. They're wax... I just had to point that out for you, Steve, just in case, buddy. They're wax figurines. And they've done a wonderful job in portraying what it would have been like. These were the guides that led people across... sometimes a barren and often a very harsh life. They talked about circling the wagons. And if you've watched very many Westerns, they always circle the wagons. Why? Protection of for the women and children. Against what? You know, that isn't even true. You know why they circled the wagons? You can tell my wife as a farm girl is to keep the critters in instead of the animals. They would circle the wagons, then they would herd their animals in, whatever cattle they brought with them if they could, their oxen, the horses, they would put them inside so that they didn't wander off at night and lose them. Because if you got stuck out in the last picture there without your oxen, it was all over. So some of the stories that we have heard are not necessarily all correct. They brought with them what they could. I love this. The sheep, the cattle with them. Why? To start a new life. As a Christian, isn't that what we long for, is to start a new life? Away from the pain and the misery and the suffering that we experience here. That's what it's all about. As a Christian, we need to be hardy and dependable and patient and long-suffering. And we need to plod toward not the setting sun, but the sun. Prophets and Kings, this is a story of Daniel. The king did not compel the Hebrew youth to renounce their faith in favor of idolatry. But he hoped to bring them about this gradually by giving them names significant of idolatry, by bringing them daily into close association with idolatrous customs and under the influence of the seductive rites of heathen worship. He hoped to induce them to renounce the religion of their nation and to unite with the worship of the Babylonians. How easy would it be for us to say, absolutely know, I am not going to go out and kill someone. It's pretty simple, right? Or, I will stand strong in my faith because you cannot take it away from me. But to little by little degrade the things that we believe in, all of a sudden we don't notice the difference anymore. But to be hardy and to be patient and dependable and long-suffering and knowing that God is constantly with us. Anything can happen on the Oregon Trail and often does. Buffalo stampedes, prairie fires, rattlesnakes, Indians, cholera, a fallen horse, the overturned wagon. Do these not talk to you about some of the experiences you've had in your Christian life? Where people have been taken away, or people that we looked up to fall by the side. One of them is, lucky and rare is the party which passes unscathed over the route to Oregon. And I would say that the same is true with our journey. Lucky and rare is the party that passes unscathed into heaven. God did not call us for an easy life. You don't find in the Bible a promise that I will never allow anything bad to ever happen to you. Just recently, I don't know the exact date, my phone is in Janelle's purse, probably where it should be, but it has the story on it of a man. Man from the Middle East who was captured by ISIS, and they found out that he was a Christian, and they tortured him. They beat his body with bricks, and they did not affect him. They gave up their torture. And they poured approximately 20 gallons of fuel upon him, and they started it on fire. And he was not burned. And we say, well, amen and praise the Lord. Praise God for this. And it is true that there are times in our lives where we can take a look back and say, God absolutely protected me from this. Now, I've never been hit with bricks and come unscathed. I've been burnt a few times, not because of my faith, praise God. But this man was unscathed by the beating with bricks and with fire. And he praises God for sparing him. The Oregon Trail was torturous, it was treacherous, and it was quite often fatal. Our life as a Christian is some of the same. We do not all go unscathed. But we do all have one promise that we can cling to, is that regardless of the circumstances that we are put through, regardless of whether we even live through them or not, that we have this hope, and that is to live eternally with our Savior. Veterans of the train predicted that your company would quarrel the whole way to Oregon. Without the hard-won experience of hired guides and the leader, the wagon train would have unraveled by now. Under stress from surroundings and sudden calamity and fierce disagreement, you need cool, knowledgeable heads to lead the way. Just a couple of pictures. I don't know if you can put yourself into that. Think of what it would have been like day after day after day, to sit in a wagon or walk behind a cow, to try to herd sheep. Anybody here ever herded sheep other than Janelle? Anybody ever tried to herd sheep? A few? Sometimes they decide to go their own way, don't they? And if you were on the Oregon Trail and that happened and you lost sight of them, you almost could say goodbye. I thought he was cute, so I put it in there. The stress of the surroundings, the calamities, they cannot break us apart. And I'm not saying they won't, but they should not. Because you see, they had to hire a guide or a leader, someone who had been over that trail before. We don't have to hire him because he comes for free. He has promised to lead us and to guide us, to stand before us, to, when necessary, when he knows necessary, to protect us from harm. And that means we need to keep our cool. We need to realize that we have a knowledgeable head who is leading us, to not quarrel about the things that don't matter on this earth, but to stand firm in what we do know. To stand firm knowing that we are headed to the promised land, and that the only thing that can keep us from that is ourselves. If we start bickering and fighting among us, it hurts us. It hurts those around us. And it hurts him. Because we are here as a witness for him. And what kind of a witness is that? The unforgiving terrain proves that rough times never end on the long Oregon Trail. And I would say that unforgiving terrain here in our Christian walk leads us to remember that they will never end until he calls us home. Agnes Stuart Warren, an immigrant of 1853, expresses feelings of many when she wrote, "Come 20 miles today, hard on a man and beast, very warm, nothing but hills and hollows and rocks. Oh dear, if we were only in the Willamette Valley or wherever we are going, I am so tired of this. Constant exposure to unforgiving elements often lead to impatience, short tempers, strong symptoms of mutiny, and this is just the beginning of the long, long road." Again, we have to stay patient. God has promised that he will walk with us. There is nothing, there is no trial that can come near us that he will not guide us through. This, they say, is actually a better portrayal of the Indians along the trail. You see what he's got, Russ? Oh, yeah, that's a salmon, baby. The Indians traded more with them than fought against them, and I found it rather interesting the reason they gave why. The Indians knew that they weren't staying there, that they were bound for something different. It took me a while as I looked at this picture to think of how I could relate that, but you know something? As we look around at this community, should they not know that we are bound for something different? Is not the experience that we have with them is no more than just trade here on this earth? And during that trade, it gave them and it gives us an opportunity to share the hardships that we have come through, but the promise that we have. Sometimes I think that we overthink what we're doing. I'm not exactly sure where this comes from, but I wrote it down because I think it really, it speaks to me. There are those that claim it's impossible to learn what we are meant to do or meant to be. But folks that say that tend to be the ones living for a God that shouts and completely miss the one that whispers. My God says, be still and know that I am God. It would be difficult. I remember when I was younger, I thought, well, how cool it would be to, you know, be one of those on the Oregon Trail. Old age has convinced me that I like the cushioned seats and the air conditioning. I love going camping, but I've also figured out in later life that the ground is very hard on an old body. And the predators are many. Oh yeah, I had to put that one in. Aren't they cute? That's the Oregon Trail. A difficult life is what we've signed up for. But why? Why would we sign up for pain and suffering and heartache? It's because there's something better coming. We know that God has promised us that He will come back for us. He's promised us that there is nothing that can stand in our way except us. I didn't try this with Charlie. I hope this works. We'll find out. This is a song that Ryan Day sings, and it's called I Can't Complain. And let's see if this will work. Hear any sound. Chris? Should be sound on this one. Sorry. So it's there. Let me try one more. Take it down a little bit, Chris. Just a minute. Let me slide it over. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way. Go ahead and take that off for a second, Chris. Can you get me this one? Love technology when it works right. And I have sad days. I'm going to start it over. In a weary mind, yet we
I think these things aloud, all of the good things outweigh the bad things, I can't complain.
Trials that they endured on the Oregon Trail. Once they reached their destination, they said were nothing compared to being in Oregon. One quote is, "It's a fabulous country, the only fabulous country. It is the one place where miracles not only happen, but where they happen all the time." Thomas Wolfe. And I would submit to you this morning that when we get to the promised land, when we get home, we will look back and say it was nothing in comparison. The deacons will hand out the commitment cards this morning. If you can write your name, if you'd like, you can put a contact information on it. But on the back, There's just three little questions. The first one is, I want to submit to God's will today. I wish to be a witness to everyone around me, and I desire to be filled anew with the Holy Spirit. There's room where you can write your own question if you want and answer it. There's room for requests for prayer. And I know that Pastor and Colleen go through these, and that every single prayer request that is written on these cards will get prayed for. We are almost home. We've come to the top of the hill, and we are looking over, and we can see the promised land. All we have to do is stay patient, be steady, and always remember that God is with us. For those that made it through the Oregon Trail, they made it because there was someone guiding them. Someone that had been there before. But we have a God that sees the end from the beginning. He knows our trials. And he knows they hurt. If you were to go to our local physical therapist, and if he was on a good day so that he didn't slap therapy you, like he does me quite often, he will tell you that you need to use that muscle. You need to strengthen that muscle. And it will be painful sometimes. But the end result is it gets better. Well, our walk on this journey is like that. It is difficult. And sometimes it hurts. But he has promised us that when we get to the other side, when we walk through heaven's doors, and everything will be renewed, that we will look back and we'll say, it's okay. You will bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, thank you again just for being with us this morning. Dear Father, we know that this is a journey. Sometimes it's a painful journey, but you also have given us the beauty that is around us and a knowledge that you will never leave us. Guide us and protect us, Lord, for we leave our lives in your will. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.